I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends. Today in the studio, we have Janet Amid. She is an intuitive astrologer. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Janet and I met at a Sagittarius party one of our friends throws, and we met and we hit it off, and I was like, oh my gosh, you should come on our Cool Friends, Hot Topics, Cool Friends. I don't even know the name of our podcast. Oh, I'm teasing.
You were
Hot
so
Topics,
cute.
Cool Friends.
You were such a Sag. Huh?
Mm-hmm. You Sagittarius.
That's why
a lot of
Wendy
fun.
Wendy usually does the intro, and this is exactly why.
No.
So, but welcome.
Thank you. It's great welcome. To be here. Thank you.
Tell us exactly all the titles you hold.
Well, I'm an astrologer. I have a degree in social work, counseling, but I consider myself an astrologer, numerologist, tarot reader. So I've really done a lot, and I worked in pharmacy way back in the 70s. Yes, I'm old. Okay. But I love astrology, and I'm a hereditary astrologer because I started astrology at the age of 5. And so my dad was from the Middle East, my mom was from the Middle East, and my mom was a psychic clairvoyant. And so my father started teaching me astrology on my 5th birthday, and this was a long time ago, 100 years. So he just one day I saw him on this little stool. He was standing there, and he was putting all the magnets on the wall. I go, what are you doing? Here's some cake. And he said, I don't need the cake. I'm looking at the planets and the stars. And I said, what does that mean? It's in the sky. He said, no. He said, Baba means it's an endearment for your child, Middle East. Mm-hmm. And he said, do you want to learn this? And I said, yes. And we have six in our brothers and sisters. Nobody was interested in what my mom and dad did. My mom was a clairvoyant psychic who did coffee ground readings. And of course, my dad was, this amazing astrologer who taught all the astrologers in town, the old people that years ago who have now passed. And so he was that reader. So he sat me down, and every Friday night at 7 o'clock, we would have a session. Astrology session for 1 hour.
At 5 years old?
I was 5.
Wow.
Every week.
Uh-huh.
Every single week, no matter what I was doing, even when I got married on a Sunday in 1981 or something, I said to my husband, because he wanted to go back to the hotel and, have a glass of wine or something. I said, no, I have to go home. It's my I have to be there. I have to do my reading my lesson with my dad. And he goes, oh, you're kidding. I go, no, I never missed it. Never missed it. So when I went away to college, we would do it by phone. Mm-hmm. And so my father taught me astrology, accurate, precise astrology. It's not superstition. It's really sort of, to me, like a science. I mean, it really tells you a lot about your life, past, present, future. It gives you a key to the universe. And that's something my dad said. And he actually predicted John F. Kennedy, the president's death. He actually predicted it 2 years before it happened, looking at the charts that this would happen, like within that frame time or whatever. He actually tried to call the White House. In those days, we didn't have phone cards or anything, or cell phones. So my mom was getting mad at him because, it was expensive and we didn't have a lot of money. My dad was a janitor and it worked 3 jobs. And so we didn't have money, but he said, no, this is going to happen. I've got to call. My mom thought he was nuts. And then about, 2 years later, I looked at my dad's notes a long time later, and I looked at his notes, and they were like 2 days within that frame time of John F. Kennedy being killed. Mm. He said he needed to stay home within this week because it was a Pluto square, something hitting. And the same thing kind of happened with John F. Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. when he was missing. And I remember saying to my husband at the time, I need to look at the chart because they were trying to find him. They thought he had just gone away on this, this vacation.
Is he still living? I feel like he's still alive.
We wish he was still alive.
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
Jana, you just crushed all my dreams.
No. Because when I looked at his chart, I said to my husband, I came home, because I went to the office to do the chart, and I came home and I looked at it and I said, he's at the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. My husband goes, you don't know that. I go, yeah, I do. He's at the bottom of the ocean. He is not alive. And I said, they're going to find that out within a few days. And of course they did within a week. Mm-hmm. But it was just the same aspect that was hitting his dad at the time was hitting him. It was a Pluto 12th house aspect.
Wow.
And that's like behind the scenes, something unexpected, unforeseen. So it's, astrology is fascinating, but we have to look at the person's childhood, their environment. We have to look at everything. You can't just say you're born, December 7, 1967, 1:38 in the morning, for example, or August 4, 66, 501 in the PM and say, okay, we're all born the same month, day, year, time of birth, city, and state. It's written in stone. Your environment acts as it gives you that backstory.
Okay.
And it explains a lot about what's going on. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the chart, you want to look at the person's environment. That's where my psychology background kicks in, because I will always look at things relating to their past and things like that. So this brought you here. So I have a friend who's born a few hours after me, not the same. It was same day, month, day, and year as myself. She and my mom were, my mom was in the hospital when she had me, and her mom was in the same room, and they had us like 15 minutes apart. Her life's really messy. really messy. And so she'll always call me and say she's been married 5 times. She's, can't be without a really, I'm the complete opposite of that. I'm extremely cautious about money. I'm very careful. Everything I do, I'm very, but my parents were kind of, structured. Her parents were not. And so she goes, don't you feel Saturn and Pisces? I taught her astrology. Don't you think it's messing with all your Sagittarius stuff? I go, no, I'm fine. Okay. Because I already, it's like when you know you're going to be hit by things astrologically, you know things are rough, and you look at your chart, and because I don't really look at it that often, and I know I'm going to have a rough patch for 3 years, which Sagittarians did. Since March 2023, ending May 2025, and then again September 2nd, 2025, through February 15, 2026. Hallelujah, we're coming out of it.
I'm going to get skinny again.
Well, you're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
She's gorgeous. Talking to her. What are you worried about? You're stunning. You're beautiful.
That's a whole other subject.
Well, we'll talk about it. I'll give you a good day to start a health regimen, not necessarily a diet, but get on a new lifestyle.
Oh, I've been on. All right. Well, I'm still on it.
Yeah, but you're going to talk to me. I'm going to fix it. Okay. I'm a fixer. So I'm like, what's her name? Olivia Pope on that one show, Scandal. I'm a fixer. So I feel like with your, when you will look at the birth chart, so I knew that March 2023, it would be a tough time because of Saturn, which real structure stability moving into Pisces. Its last occurrence was 93 through 96. I said, ooh, this is going to be rough. So I made sure I was secure with everything and anything I did. So my friend doesn't do that. She kind of like, just whatever. And, she's on her, fifth marriage or something, something like that. And so
is your friend going to listen to this podcast?
No, I hope so.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I mean, a lot of
she just loves you no matter what.
Oh,
you say.
My God, yes. Because we'll go to dinner and she'll throw me a birthday and she'll say, I just met this guy. I'll say, you need to have a romance with yourself first. That's my theory with people. You need to fall in love with yourself. And my father used to tell me that when I would come home and, from college and I'd have a boohoo relationship, I'd meet these little jokers and I would date. And my father would say, Baba, I try to tell you, fall in love with yourself first. Then everything falls into place. It's just so I learned that from my dad, mm-hmm. And my mom, of course, she was amazing. But so sometimes that structure, if you understand yourself and you understand the key to the universe with astrology, everything just, it's like a domino effect. It's like having an infection in your body and taking an antibiotic and all of a sudden you feel better. You can go to sleep at night. You're calm. I know it's a weird example, but once you understand yourself, the infection is your inner psychology, your turbulence, your struggles. And once you understand how to work with it, everything falls into place. It's mm-hmm. not like life can be perfect because some people are born under a really turbulent chart astrologically, but if they know how to navigate they can work with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's
so when you get up in the morning, back up a little bit. You were saying you don't check your chart every day. It's not something you do anymore.
I just know it in my head, but I don't know.
You don't like, what my next month is going to.
No.
What about if you're like taking a trip on?
Yes.
Yeah.
If I had to have surgery on my knees in 2014, and my doctor, who was really into astrology, he loves it, and I loved him. And so I said, you know, Dr. So-and-so, I said, you have to start the surgery at 7:36 a.m. No, not a minute before, not a minute after. He goes, well, I don't know. I said, you have to start it at 7:36 a.m., please. So what's interesting, after I had this surgery, the nurses came in, I'm coming out of this, you know, this anesthesia stuff, and, you know, and I hear them say, what was Dr. So-and-so, what was he so weird about starting his beeper went off at 7:36.
He started.
He told me that day, he said, everything went perfect. Yeah. The surgery, my whole day, I won $100 scratch off. He goes, Janet, everything was perfect. It was like it was the perfect day. And my recovery was quick, fast. Everything was, yeah. So there's something to it.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, it's magic.
Do you think people that are very... you know, that are, you know,
skeptical?
High. No, we'll go to that too. But the people that are in your field that are experts at it, I guess, or just better at it, they have to have all the things you just described, which is like, you know, maybe if, as you get older, do you get better at your job?
I think so. You become seasoned. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're learning to play the piano, you become seasoned. Yeah. But if you have an ear for music, you become seasoned faster.
There you go.
And I grew up with parents who were, my mom and dad, who were metaphysical. My father would always, I don't care, we're in the car, and he would say, okay, what am I thinking? So he'd want me to get my psychic abilities to be tuned in. Mm-hmm. And so he'd say, what am I thinking? I'd say, I don't know. My mom would say, leave her alone. She's talking Arabic, half English. Leave her alone. And so, no, I want her to be the best. And so he would always do that. But yeah, I have that perfect pitch with astrology and metaphysics. But at the same time, I always say I'm very humble, because I learned to be humble from my parents. My father always said, you know, one day when I was like 7 or 8 or 10, something like that. And I had a little table outside our little house, and I put Janet Amid, best astrologer in the world, and 5 cents a reading or something like that. And my father took me into the backyard. He goes, when those trees bow down to you, then you're the greatest. He said, until then, you practice humility. So I find that when I'm amongst people that do what I do and who are amazing, I feel very humbled by that, because I am good, but I never consider myself the best. I would never say that, because there's always people that are better. And I'm great at what I do. I am. I will admit that. And I'm in Toledo, but I have clients all over the world, Japan. I would say my largest clientele base overseas is Japan.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have quite a few in Abu Dhabi and Dubai.
So tell us how you, let's speak to that. How did you turn what your gift is into a business?
I just, you know, I worked as in the field of counseling and stuff for many years. And I don't know, I didn't like the way the system was and stuff. And I just decided, you know, in 1988, April of 88, I did the exact time, 12:03 a.m., I moved into my office. And so I just decided I'm going to open my office, continue working to get a paycheck, because I didn't, that scariness of not having a paycheck scared me. So I continued to work till 1992. I would work during the day, but I opened my office, and I just decided, I had such a huge clientele base coming to my apartment, my home, and I just needed to expand. And I just, and it grew and grew and grew. And then I started getting on the radio in 84, I think 84, 85, right after my dad died. I went on the radio, and, you know, my first entrance into I was on a radio station in off Pickle Road, and I started.
94.5?
No, I didn't know if I could mention it. 105.5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, WOHO.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah,
I was a senior in high school. I remember listening to you.
Yeah, I was on 3 mornings in a row, and I was on 2 evenings with Scott Gregory. He was one of the best. Oh my God, he was the best DJ. So I was on with him, and we had a show called Love Notes. So I was on talking about love and relationships, and suddenly, you know, my phone's ringing off the hook. 1992, I went full throttle into my business, because I got fired from my job. My boss, who was my best friend, said, you know, Janet, you're really a good, you know, counselor, astrologer, whatever, or whatever, but you can't mix them because people are coming in asking who's, we want to see the radio girl. And so, you know, so then I started.
Mm-hmm. I used to listen to that, Love Notes.
Oh, that was so great. He had the best voice.
That's why I knew your name at that party, but I didn't know you.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, that's her?
Yeah, I know. She's so boring.
No.
No, really. It's really funny because being in the field that I'm in, you think I would be this exciting person. So sometimes my friends would bring their friends. They want to meet me and we'll go to dinner and then they'll sit there and they'll say, friends will call me later and say, they thought you were kind of boring. I go, boring?
Oh.
Well, because I wasn't talking.
You were boring.
Well, I know, because I wasn't talking. Well, it's not that I'm boring. I just talk about other things.
Right. They probably wanted you to give them readings you more exciting.
They want to talk about astrology. Yeah. So the minute I talk about astrology, you can see the light bulbs go off. But the minute, you know, I talk about a recipe or the politics or something, people just don't, you know, because it's like I'm more than just an astrologer. It's,
right.
You know, I don't define myself through it. So I do more than that. But I'll be honest with you, I live, breathe, eat, sleep astrology. So I guess I do define myself through it. I love it. It's my passion. And also tarot. I do tarot. I do numerology.
Yeah, I had a question about that. Like, so when you're doing a reading, well, first of all, what age were you when you first started doing the readings?
Oh my gosh, college.
Yeah. Mm.
I was in college and one of my friends had a breakup with her boyfriend. I think I was 18 at the time and I was in college and she goes, I don't know if he's cheating. I said, well, let me look at his chart. So I pulled out my books and I look and she goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, I do astrology. Nobody talked to me in school, high school or college because, you know, I was one of those people. I was very shy, very quiet. When I talked astrology, suddenly I had all these friends. So all of a sudden, I looked at her birthday. I go, yeah, he's definitely cheating. One's a blonde and one is a redhead. I said, be prepared for that. She goes, how do
she's
you know
got
that?
It down to hair color?
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
So I looked at the birth date and I said, I drew the chart up in my hand with my hand. That's before we hit computers. And so I did the chart. And I said, he has a girlfriend. He has one that is redheaded and one that is, you know, is a blonde or something. I remember, but something like that. But I had two different hair colors. And she said, well, he's really sweet. He would never do that. I go, yeah, he does. You know, but anyway, it turned out he was. And
she went back and said, Jana, said you're cheating on me.
Yeah,
and
then you have read. He said, she's not a natural blonde, but she had blonde hair.
Oh my God.
That means, you know, okay. You know,
that's a great answer to give.
Right.
So, but I started, and then people started coming to me, and it would be, I was working at a pizza shop doing, you know, working my way through school, and then all of a sudden people were coming in, I'll give you $5 if you'd look at this, or $3, or this, or that. And I mean, so I, well, this is kind of nice. So then all of a sudden I started, you know, it started building, and then before you know it, people were calling me, and they'd wave at me. Nobody waved at me before. Even in high school, I was so quiet.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Toledo.
What high school did you go to?
I went to DeVilbiss.
Okay,
yeah, my first year of school, I was in California. Okay. In fact, I was there at the time. This is going to tell my age that Sharon Tate was killed by Charles Manson. We lived like within a mile of that house, you know, where she was killed. And so I always had this fascination for that because we took our little bikes and we went up there about 2 weeks later and you know, we got through the gate. You know, we were skinny then. We can get through the gate and everything. And so we could peek in the windows and it had been taped off for like weeks and weeks. And then it was like a few weeks, maybe a month later that we did that. So I've always had a fascination for that. I studied that, their charts and everything forever. Yeah. So it's kind of, So anyway, I went to school in California.
Okay.
And so then I went to DeVilbiss, but they have a picture of me actually in the cafeteria doing readings for a quarter when I was in high school. Yeah.
So have you ever, so say you're at a reading and you turn over a card because you turn them over.
No,
right?
I do. I use astrology. Cards are different.
So if you're doing.
You're talking about tarot.
Yeah. The tarot card. So have you ever, well, either way, have you ever done a tarot reading or an astrology reading and you were like shocked by it and you had But did you close the book and say like, we're done?
No, I don't do that.
I can't do
that. I got an appointment.
No, I don't do that. But my father, I go back to my dad because he was under his tutelage. He taught me a lot. But my father always told me, be humble. And also, you're 99% right. You can be 1% wrong. You mm-hmm. never, ever predict a death. You never, ever do. He had his rules of guidance. And he always said, he started off the reading, his life can only be understood backwards. That was how he started off with me every single time. I said, Dad, I know. You already told me that. He goes, I know, but I want to drum that in your head. Life can only be understood backwards.
What does that mean?
Means that you look at the person's past, their childhood, okay. before you. So if you're looking at somebody and let's say they're a severe alcoholic mm-hmm. or they're traumatized by they're cheating on their spouses or something, well, what you're not born that way. You're born one way and life gets a hold of you. So you have to look at their mm-hmm. past. You have to understand their background. So I always, when I'm on the radio and I do readings, I'll look at them. I'll say, oh, you had some stuff with your mom. Oh, I see this with your dad. Your father left it, 7, 8 years old? Yeah, my dad did leave. How'd you know that? I see it. So that obviously traumatized you. You have arrested development. There's some issues going on. This is why you draw men into your life that are always leaving you, blah, blah, blah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I would get into that. Mm-hmm. So I would always, yes, and I have had relationships with my clients where I actually had a client that I saw some severe, severe health issues. And I'm very non-intrusive. So I'm not going to call somebody every day and say, how are you doing? I don't do that. Once they leave the office, I do not intrude. I don't do that. I'm very private and very, you know, cautious of their privacy. But one girl, I kept saying, you need to get to the doctor ASAP. There's something going on with your stuff here, female related stuff. I'm really concerned. And so as she said, well, I just had a mammogram. I said, well, there's something here. I don't like what I'm seeing, but I could be wrong. Let's just make sure and get checked out. So she said, so I kept calling her and she called her friend. She said, what is with this woman? She keeps calling me. And the client who's been my client forever says, that's not like Janet. She never does that. There's something off. So the woman waited about, I don't know, a year, went to the doctor. She had stage 4 ovarian cancer. Mm. She died within like almost like a month of being, you know, like month or 2 months or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But I could see it. And I called her 4 or 5. And finally she said, stop calling me. I am healthy. I am fine. I don't know what your concern is. I mean, she was really really rude. And I mean, you know, but I said, well, okay, I'm not going to call you again, but I really do feel you need to check this out. And I felt it. I heard it. Like I always listen to my angels and I listen to spirits. And I always think my dad's talking to me or my mom, but I do hear it. You know, they need to do this. And so but you know, people mm-hmm. don't listen.
If someone yeah. comes to you and they want you to tell them,
Something
and you can do you?
Oh,
like
yeah.
say I came to you and I said, okay, I'm really concerned about how I'm gonna die. If I could change it, can you do stuff like that?
I can't. I don't think that's in my power.
Chris,
no, that's a really
Chris
that's
is like
deep.
That's a
yeah,
deep,
that's a
no,
big
no,
one.
No, because I just watched that Netflix movie 11/22/63
right.
about James.
Oh, that's a great movie.
And,
yeah.
and so that's why I'm asking this question. I do not want to know when I'm going to die.
But
it's okay.
He went back in time.
But
he
that
did.
Would that would be a whole different thing. But
yeah.
look at how he changed the butterfly effect. He changed
yeah.
the destiny.
Yes.
Everything was changed. Mm-hmm. But this is where I go back to. That's not in my power. I could tell somebody where difficult trends are coming up. Things are happening. I can
yeah.
do that easily. I could say, well, I don't know that, but this is what I see could happen. You have to be very cautious. And I try to work within a 7-year cycle. In our lives, we work on 1-year cycles every 12 years. So things transit every 12 years, which, you know, and then I look at 7 and I look at 27 to 30. These are cycles and stages in people's lives. And they're 99.9% proof. So when you look at a cycle, that's why I mentioned just now, March 2023 through May 2025 and September 2025 through February 15, 2026. This is a cycle that occurred way back in 93 through 96. So the cycle coming up, February 15, 2026, this year, next month, a few weeks, it will go till April 2028. And then the last time that occurred was 96 through 98.
And this is a good, bad cycle?
It depends on how it's hitting. We cannot say it's a good or bad. It depends on how it's hitting. I think economically, we might be a little bit better in with our country, hopefully, pray.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I do think it could be a little bit better. But I also think that the time frame in 2027 between January, I believe, through May could be a really weird time for the stock market. I work with a lot of stockbrokers, so there could be a trend going
on.
That's
my other job, you know.
Oh, is it?
Well, I'm not one. I work for a financial advisor.
Oh. Yeah, well, I work with a lot of stockbrokers, a lot of financial financial advisors, a lot. Yeah. And I have one guy whose wife made him come in to see me, and he wouldn't even look at me. He goes, I can't believe I'm here, gift certificate or not. I said, well, just have fun.
gift certificate.
Yeah, he had a gift certificate. And he goes, I can't believe she made me do this. I don't believe in this stuff. And this guy was so left brain, so analytical. And I knew it from looking at his chart. I thought, okay, OCD city here. So, but I remember telling him things. I said, well, just humor me. I'll give you dates of things that are going to hit us, and you know, with the stock market, just humor me. You don't have to believe in this, and just. And so we recorded everything. He never talked. He wouldn't even look at me. He had his body language, like cutie patootie over here.
Oh.
Body language. He was like this.
Talking about our producer, like, Chris.
Chris changed it. If you guys could see, his arms were folded, and all of a sudden he like.
He's doing the gangster lean.
He would not even.
We love you, Chris.
He would not even look at me. And so finally around, I say 6 months later, he calls me and he goes, I want to know something. I go, who is this? And he said his name. And he goes, and he's a very well-known financial advisor in California. So he goes, how did you know that would happen at this time that we'd have a crash? I go, because that's what I do for a living. I do astrology. He goes, but it doesn't make sense. And it was blowing his mind. He goes, I don't understand that. And he goes, and I said, well, you look at the degree, you look at the angle, you look at this, you look at that. Anyway, it's stuff I explained. So he is now a regular client. He lives in Hawaii now. So he calls me once a month, like, you know, just looking at trends and stuff like that. So it's, I don't know how it works.
So what about the lottery?
So what are the next six numbers?
No, if this is what I say to people all the time. If I knew, I'd be rich. Yeah. I wouldn't be sitting
you
here.
You wouldn't be doing
that. I would be.
Is there anything that you can
find out
by the charts where like,
yes.
Oh, okay.
I go to the casino. If you ever look at my Facebook, I'm not a big gambler, but I will go to the casino on certain days when astrologically things are favorable. And I win. Because I even have it on my Facebook. It has something that says, the stars told me to do it, and I did it, and I won $6,000 or something. Yeah, and I don't
play.
So
you need to let everybody know when you go to the casino. We'll just all.
Well, it depends.
Hollywood Casino should just.
It depends.
Promote you.
It depends. Yeah.
Right?
It depends on, you know, how it's hitting your chart.
Right.
One particular time I went, and I didn't win $6,000. I won $75,000. And I had gone.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was married at the time. It was in 1999. And I went. My husband loved to gamble. He loved it. Now, he was a notoriously bad gambler, but he just would like to go and all this. And so we had this rule once a month, you know, for 3 hours. That's it. So so he did. Of course, I let him do what he wants. I never told him what to do, whatever. But I just said, you know, I'd prefer it if you do this. Anyway. So Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1999, we're having breakfast. And he gives me a card with flowers. And it had $100 in there. And he goes, my mom was in the hospital because she had lived with me 30 years. So she was now in the hospital. So I have to worry about her because she was just, you know, in rehab something because of her hip. So he goes, what do you want to do today? It's Sunday. I go, I want to go to the casino. But I have to walk in at 3:17 p.m. And he goes, why? It was like 1 o'clock. And it took us an hour to get to the casino in Detroit or Canada. So he goes, I said, honey, just trust me on this. At 3:17 p.m., every planet is going to be aligned to my Venus and at exactly within degree. I have to walk in at 3:17 p.m. So he goes, rolls his eyes, and he's so excited to go to the casino. He's singing in the car and everything. So we get there, and it's blizzard. It's a blizzard out. And it's about 2:30, maybe 2:20. So I get out of the car. He has valet. Of course he has valet. So he has valet. So he walks in, and I stayed out behind him outside in the cold. And I go, I can't walk in until 3:30. He goes, you are so crazy. Come in. I go, no. He goes, Janet, this is ridiculous. He's an engineer, accountant. We're divorcing God. But we're still, we're best
still
friends. We're best good. Friends. We're best friends. He's wonderful. But anyway, I wouldn't walk in, and people are, my hair's all ice. My eyelashes are ice. It was freezing. And people are looking at me like I'm nuts. And I go, I can't walk in. I'm an astrologer, 3:17 p.m. And they're kind of like looking at me like I'm out of my mind, like I'm homeless or something. I looked homeless. So I walk in, and I walk. Seriously, I walked in at 3:17 p.m. and I was freezing. So I took my $100 out. I said, I'm going to turn this into something. I won 7 jackpots that day. And each jackpot, they show a picture of you. I won 7. I couldn't find him because he's all lost in the abyss somewhere. So I go to this last machine, the last machine. And it was this $5 machine. I decided I already had like, I don't know, $20,000 in my pocket.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So
can
I
can't even imagine.
Oh
that
my
just
God.
I got lots of
me.
Questions.
So I stand there at this machine and this guy sitting next to it and there was a coin in there. And I said to the guy, is this your coin, sir? He goes, yeah, that's mine. He grabs the coin up. And that's when we had poker, like coins. Mm-hmm,
right.
So I put my $100 in and all of a sudden I lost my $100 and I thought, oh, do I keep playing? Put another $100 in. I won $75,000. So I won.
What happens when, well, you can tell us maybe on our part two, what happens when you win that kind of money? Like I've won like $350 once.
I just sat there and I didn't do anything.
Yeah, they make you stay there because you got to, yeah.
They checked the machine.
Oh, sure.
They brought a thing to check the machine. Yeah. So security said, you know, they gave me cash. And so I had to go to the bathroom and I got envelopes, a bunch of duct tape, and I put it all over my body because
They should give you a suitcase or something.
No.
Like, why don't they give you a silver suitcase? That's
nothing.
Ridiculous.
So, so that was it. But that was a long time ago, 1999. So
we're going to have to end it right there, Janet. But how does everybody find you?
They can look on Facebook. I have like 4 Facebook accounts.
Okay.
Amid the Stars, AMID, the Stars. Janet Amid, I think is the Stars Speak. And then Janet Amid, you'll see my little pharmacy jacket on. I'm waving at everybody. So, Facebook. And I'm also on Instagram. I'm on everything.
We can find you pretty easy. Just Google Janet Amid.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited for our next episode with you. But we do have to ask you, why are you our cool friend?
Because I consider myself a loyal person. I consider myself a good listener. I love to listen to people when they communicate. I'm talking a lot today, but I really love to listen to your stories. And one of these days, we're going to go have dinner and do that. And I also consider myself to be someone who, because I'm an astrologer, I see beyond how people appear. I see more than that. And that's why. Plus, I think you guys are great.
Oh, we love you. Thank you so much.
Oh. Thanks for coming in.
And my closing would be to everybody, I'm Janet Amid, and when you understand your stars, you reclaim your power.
Nice. Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Piper, our executive producer,
and Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to WGTE.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.